You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, more than 22,000 women in Aotearoa have lost their jobs. In the wake of this, the Women in Trades Collective is working harder than ever to encourage women into trades as a career option and work with employers to help support women when they get there. This morning, Frances spoke to Kylie Taffart, who is the chairperson for Women in Trades Collective, to get a picture of the current climate of women in the trades industry. They spoke about what the trades are, barriers that stop women getting into trades, and what the organisation is doing to encourage the trades as a career option for women.
Before we begin talking about some stats, could you just give me a picture of what we're talking about when we say the trades, and what does that encapsulate?
So in terms of what Women in Trades particularly work with, we work with mainly non-traditional trades such as those in the construction industry, manufacturing, such as automotive, welding, fabrication, scaffolding, also boat building. There's a lot of trades within the marine industry. Gosh, there's a lot. If you think electrical supply, water reticulation, so, you know, the big civil trades, which means that you get water to your house, electricity to your house, roading, all of those kind of things. Yeah, it's actually quite a wide range. There are other trades as well, which are traditionally female. Your trades in the hairdressing and beauty industry, trades within healthcare. We generally look at trades as things which you can gain your qualification whilst on the job, so usually an apprenticeship type situation. But then you've also got things like truck driving, which often doesn't have an apprenticeship per se, but you're still learning on the job. It's traditionally a male-dominated industry where females are actually paving the way and doing a great job.
And what are some of those stats surrounding women in trades at the moment?
In the trades, it's actually significantly low. You know, if you look at all trades, it's probably maybe 13%, but then you look at those non-traditional trades and it can drop as low as, you know, 1% in some trades. You know, think of things like stonemason, brick and block laying, those kind of trades. It is quite low, not for want of trying. You know, there is actually a lot of work being done by industry to try and increase the numbers, but there's just a range of things which do make it difficult for females to go in. The great thing is that this new government program, you know, the free trades training, is actually increasing the number of women. So I know the BCITO have had a significant increase in the number of females in their trade program. So as females doing apprenticeships, which is just fantastic. And that's what we need, because it's about economies of scale. The more you see females in the job, the more females think, oh, that could be a job for me. So it's kind of a chicken and egg situation.
And just picking up on what you said before about there being some barriers for women getting into trades, are there any particular ones that come to mind?
There are many different barriers, and it actually is, it's often trade dependent. You know, some people talk about toilets being a barrier and, you know, not enough toilets. But then a lot of tradeswomen that I've interviewed personally for my own research, that's not been a barrier that's been expressed. It's been a barrier potentially that's been discussed from an employer's point of view, as in they don't want to hire a female because it might mean that they have to get another toilet, which is often not the case. Sometimes it's just a case of making sure the toilet's clean, or even just providing a toilet on site, because there are some sites, even though it is a health and safety requirement, that don't have toilets on there. Sometimes it's just the employer having to have a conversation with a female, and that can be quite difficult, you know, asking someone what kind of toileting they need. For some females, it is a barrier, because, you know, you go on site and there's these disgusting portaloos and they need to change a tampon or do something that requires quite a good level of hygiene, and they just can't do it in those spaces. So that can be a barrier. PPE is another barrier. Females really struggle to find PPE because they're not just scaled down versions of men. And quite often PPE gear gets discussed as unisex. You know, we just get smaller sizes of the men's in, but that doesn't always work. And females just need to try different things on, and there's just not the range. of PPE gear out there for them to try on. So often they have to order it in, and then if it doesn't fit, they have to then order another size. I know that the like safety shops, you know, that sell PPE, they're really struggling to get supply because it's coming from overseas. So that can be a huge barrier for females, not being able to get that. And there's also just your traditional beliefs that, you know, you have to be strong to do a particular job. Whereas a lot of times if a female gives it a go and is really committed, they can be a really good employee and learn really, really quickly on the job.
And do you think enough is being done by the industry and the government as well to accommodate women in trades?
There's always more that can be done, but I think there is a lot being done by industry, by committed people within the industry. But also, like, if you look at the construction industry, that is an industry that's under pressure. And then you've got females who are touted as the solution to that problem. However, they're not always, there's not always time for apprentices of any gender to be taken on board because there's not the time to train them, which is why you get a lot of trying to, you know, get employees off other companies who have a level of training, which means they can just get on the tools. I think industry is really pushing. I think they are working really hard. Well, actually, I'll rephrase that and say some in the industry are really looking at it. A lot of the industry training organisations have a focus on increasing the number of females, and they do a lot to support that. And they need to be commended for the work that they are doing. And the same with a lot of the polytechnics around the country. They're really, really pushing to make their environments a safe space to upskill females. But it is, again, it's a chicken and egg kind of thing, because you can put on all these amazing different strategies to encourage females into the industry, but if females don't see themselves as being welcome in the industry or a part of the industry, or even to see it as a career opportunity, then it makes it difficult because you can't find females to fill those places, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And what is Women in Trades doing to promote the trades as career options for women, like in high schools and beyond?
We do a range of things. So one of the things which unfortunately was disrupted by this lockdown is we host an event every year in Auckland currently, but we're looking at ways that we can take it around the country because it is really effective. We host an event which has three parts to it. One, which is a give it a go. So we have all these amazing ITOs, but also employers. So we've, you know, key people like Fletcher Building, Māori and Pacifica Trades Training, Electric, Mitre 10, you know, all of these key players within the industry come along and support our women that turn up to understand the different types of jobs. So it's quite hands-on. But sometimes, you know, just using a nail gun or just like Mito quite often will bring a vehicle and they will use the tools on the vehicle to do certain jobs. And just kind of getting in there to do that gives them the confidence that actually they can do it. These power tools aren't scary, or, you know, I do have the strength to be able to do it because technology is available. And just opens their eyes. You know, we actually were really fortunate. If it had have gone ahead, we would have had a crane simulator there with a local Auckland crane company, which just kind of opens their eyes to they can go into crane driving, or they could go into all these different trades like in the marine industry or in the construction industry, because a lot of the times females just don't know what's out there. And so another thing to support that is on all our social media and our website, we do little stories on females in the trades to try and highlight the range of trades that are out there that females are doing and doing successfully. And it's been really successful. As also part of our event, we have tradeswomen speaking. So Mitre 10 sponsors a keynote speaker, and that keynote speaker works with Speechmarks to develop their presentation. And it's basically their journey through the trades and the good, the bad, the ugly. Because it's really important for women who are thinking about the trades to have all the facts, to know what the amazing things are about a trade, what the difficult things are, you know, when it rains, it's not nice, those kind of things, and the ugly. You know, there are situations where you are going to have to really work harder because you are female or have situations that are not nice because you are female, but you can get through it and there are ways to get through it. And we follow up that with a panel discussion from women of different trades to kind of just reinforce the conversation that the keynote started.
Yeah, I had a look at some of those stories on your website this morning. They're really fascinating. Awesome work you guys are doing.
Yeah, and if there's any tradeswomen who are listening who would love to be part of that, you know, get in contact with us because we really need those stories out there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.